This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 108 of your weekly dose of Sunday supplements. Supplements is good for you, apparently.
They're very good for you. They make your wee expensive.
Whoa, Big Bang Theory joke.
Yes. Well, I've heard it before, the Big Bang Theory, on podcasts like such as Skepticality and The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, actually.
Which are good podcasts.
Which are very good podcasts.
Did you know?
No.
There are 108 pressure points, according to Ayurveda.
Really?
Yeah.
Pressure points for what? Because I'll tell you something, though, Simon. If I were to pressurise any part of you, you'd feel it. It's not like, you know, if I jammed my finger in your ribs, the difference between third rib and the second rib is not going to make a huge amount of difference to the pressure you will feel.
No.
Or if I was to squish you in between a lemon press, put your, let's say, your hand, and say you've got maybe one pressure point in your hand, I suggest that all of your hand would feel pressurised by that flat surface.
I think the end of my elbow wouldn't, though.
True, but I don't think we'd get much juice out of that.
I have juicy elbows.
Do you have juicy elbows?
What are you suggesting?
It sounds to me like you're suggesting you have a juicy in your elbow, which is quite revolting.
Doesn't?
I don't have Viducies in my elbows.
It's the most impractical place to have a Viducy too.
Here's a game you can play. Straighten your arm.
Yeah.
Get the skin below your elbow, pull it down a bit.
Yeah.
And then have a feel of it, because it feels a bit like ball sack.
This made me feel my own elbow sack and accidentally slip two fingers into my elbow Viducy. It's very confusing, my elbow. This is why I don't show them in public. Did you buy a newspaper?
I did buy a newspaper, but we should come clean and explain what we did do.
Well, we bought Saturday ones.
I know we bought Saturday ones. And to be fair, I just bought the Saturday one, which is the paper I usually get, which is The Guardian, because it's amazing on a Saturday.
I got the one I normally get, which is The Times. So that was good. I got free Tropicana, which apparently the whole of New York drinks for breakfast. I don't believe that for a minute. And a book called The Diary of a Wimpy Kid.
I got free kids' tickets for Legoland.
Oh.
One child goes free with each playing adult at Legoland, Windsor or Legoland Discovery Centre, Manchester. I didn't know there's a Legoland in Manchester. I don't know if I approve of Lego so far north, even though it derivates from the north. But never mind. I get a free kids' ticket.
I want tickets to Legoland now.
Oh, well, there we go. Legoland's amazing. I bought a little Lego Snape, and so I have a little Lego Alan Rickman to go with my evil Lego Man collection. It's quite sexy.
Let's cut things out and keep them.
Okay.
That was a weird rhythmic introduction. I didn't mean to do that. Just fell out of my face.
It did. It kind of went, let's cut things out and keep them. You're like you're trying to be a little paranoid android, aren't you?
No.
Or either that or you've turned into William Shatner, which would be a terrific boon for the podcast.
If I could turn into William Shatner, my life would be complete. It would be the best thing ever.
You'd be charming, you'd be funny, you'd be sexy.
And I'd be Captain Kirk.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever read erotica and fan fiction erotica, but see, it's a hobby of mine. I occasionally browse it. And what amazes me is not only do you get / NC-17 Spock Kirk fan fiction, but you also get Spock Shatner fan fiction. That's not Kirk, that's William Shatner and Spock.
Oh, how bizarre.
Yeah, it's brilliant. People's imaginations when it comes to genitalia are wonderful.
Is there any Denny Crane / fiction?
I don't know. I will have a look tonight.
You don't even know who Denny Crane is.
So?
He's William Shatner's second best character.
Oh, of course, when Captain Kirk was a traffic cop or something.
No, that's TJ Hooker.
Oh, sorry.
God's sake.
What's Denny Crane?
He's in Boston Legal. He's a fading, brilliant lawyer who is Alzheimer's, and it's just brilliant. It might actually be his best role, but he says Denny Crane a lot. Denny Crane. Denny Crane. Denny Crane. Did you get a newspaper article that you want to cut out?
Yes! I got The Lady Vanishes.
Which is about what?
When her husband shot to TV fame, Gaia Miller... It's either G or Gaia. Now, I don't know how to pronounce the word G-I-A, because it could be Gia, it could be Gaia, and it kind of fits in with the article that I don't know how to pronounce her name. I've met this lady, and I still don't know how to pronounce her name. She's Brian Cox's wife, and it's all about how she's basically vanished. You know, she's no longer become interesting. Even when photographed now is not Brian Cox's wife, she is friend. She's just talking about how her life has been effectively ruined by her husband's career because they get stopped in the street. Everybody wants to know about Brian. When she gets stopped in the street on her own, people don't ask her about her, they ask her about Brian.
Do you think Brian cheers her up by going, things can only get better?
I think he probably doesn't. You know, but it is quite interesting, like the fact that, you know, if she has an opinion somebody disagrees with, someone says to her, oh, you only think that because your husband's a physicist. And, you know, So she's not even capable of having her own opinions now.
Well, thematically, that kind of ties in with mine, which is don't mess with Gloria, ruthless, powerful, rich, the feminist lawyer every Hollywood star should fear. And it's about this lawyer called Gloria Allred. And she kind of sets herself up as a feminist lawyer, which is great. She's campaigning for an equal rights amendment to the Constitution. She says, people say women were given the right to vote, but women have never been given anything. They've had to fight for everything. They had to starve themselves for the right to vote. They had to nearly die to get it.
I like the suffragettes, don't get me wrong. I'm very thankful. But they're not the best feminists, because what did they do to represent me? They starved themselves. They flung themselves under horses. That's not what it's like being a girl. It was actually like being a girl. Is what the Taliban women were doing. Because under the Taliban, women there would protest. They would get together in little caves. They'd put on makeup and then they'd eat ice cream. Now that is about being a girl. That represents it all. If they got caught, they'd be dragged to the nearest football pitch and shot in the head. And, you know, I hate football. So I think the Taliban, you know, the women under them did a much better job of representing femininity.
Well, they did an equally good job, I would suggest.
I can't remember who it was. I heard a thing recently of she wore a miniskirt to a feminist rally, being a feminist. And the feminists were just like, what are you doing wearing that miniskirt? My God, what are you doing to the feminist movement? And she looked at them and said, feminising it. Which is, it's just lovely.
That is nice. But the point I was making about them being similar articles was that this is a four-page spread about a powerful lawyer who happens to be a woman. And all it's talking about is what she wears, her lipstick, where she goes on holiday. Do they ask her about her views on the Equal Rights Amendment? No. Do they ask her about where she went on holiday? Yes. And everything about it is this woman's relationship with men. It frames her in the masculine.
It's really annoying because Gia Gaia, compares herself to Yoko Ono in a very humble way. She doesn't sort of say, I'm brilliant like Yoko Ono. She sort of says, I feel like the unwanted tag-along girlfriend. I felt like bloody Yoko Ono. Yoko was and is interesting in her own right. She's a remarkable artist and a unique thinker. All of the things you think of John Lennon doing in the late 60s and early 70s were inspired entirely and directly by Yoko. The avant-garde art, the politics, the whole peace and love thing. She is responsible for the Lennon we remember and love today, yet she is at best ignored and at worst vilified. For what exactly? Being loved by him?
It raises an interesting point. Would it work the other way if she had been the presenter of, you know, the popular physics programmes and he was her boyfriend? Would he have been pushed into the background as much as she has been?
Fern Britton's husband's a chef, isn't he? And I don't know if he always gets asked about Fern Britton. It's worth a bit of research anyway, because Fern Britton's a very famous sort of daytime TV presenter in this country. And she has a husband who occasionally actually goes on her show, or used to when she was presenting This Morning, would be the chef telling you how to make scones. And he would always do some innuendo when she had a scone halfway in her face and make Philip Schofield go pink. But I don't know if it's... Well, I think it probably is quite similar when you have a mixture of powers in a relationship. And the fact that, you know, on Twitter, Sarah Colwood asked Lauren Laverne to set her up with Brian as he'd been on her show that morning. And later that day, the baby threw up on me. So I tweeted to Sarah Colwood that I'd be very happy to share my husband with her 50-50 if she took over the baby vomit cleaning duties. Unfortunately, she declined. But the idea of Twitter as well, the fact that they're both on Twitter and the fact that she's just become Brian Cox's friend rather than her own person is just... It is a really interesting look at the other side of it, which is why I should win.
Well, I think you should win, but only because I think my article was a massive missed opportunity. But it kind of reflects quite nicely the theme of your article. So let's call it a score draw.
No. Let's call it Izzy Wins. Because Izzy does win. Izzy is a winner. Izzy wins.
Let's play Article or Farcical. One day, I'm going to say, let's do such and such, and someone's going to say no. And it's going to be a bit awkward, and I'm going to just end up talking to myself weirdly till my sentence trails off and I've got not much else to say, really.
So, we're going to play Article or Farcical. In this game, I read out three articles from The Guardian, one article
blah,
I've made up.
Blah, blah.
Simon's job is to decide which one I've made up.
Blah,
and it's also you can play
blah,
along at home,
blah,
or in the car, or in the
blah.
Bath, maybe. I like to think that you're having a nice relaxing bath while
listening. Don't play in the bath whilst listening to me. That would make my elbow the juicy weep. No, no, that's bad. No, it would make my face weep. Shut up. Just get on with it.
Okay, article number one. Is it an article or is it a farcical? Two legs good.
Two legs good. And what's that about?
Leggings.
Oh, God. Where's the pun in that?
There aren't puns in The Guardian. They don't stoop so low.
Okay.
Number two. Slap your face in the morning and eat muesli.
To what end?
Treat yourself badly actually makes you a better person.
What?
But not badly, like... be rougher with yourself.
So be a masochist and you'll be happier.
Yeah, basically.
I'm a masochist and I'm not happy.
The only masochistic thing you do is let me berate you on a podcast, which fits in with article number three quite nicely. Please make it stop.
Make what stop?
Horror films.
Oh, right. Okay. Why has it got an article about horror films? Oh, it's because it's Fright Fest.
And finally, is this an article or is this a farcical? If you want a taxi with no handbrake, look no further.
Than what?
This car they're looking at.
Oh, I see. It's a review and they're being disparaging about it.
Yeah.
It looks like a taxi and the handbrake's rubbish, is what they're saying. That's barely Clarkson level, is it? Come on. Whatever
barely.
You might think of Jeremy Clarkson, he does have an amazing turn of phrase when he's talking about cars.
Well, that's kind of why he's employed.
No, it's because of his big curly hair and his tight jeans. That's why he's employed.
But I mean, James May has that in spades, so...
James May doesn't write reviews about spades. He does cars as well.
Oh, we're dangerous territory. Dangerous territory. Just to be clear, we're talking about garden tools. And actually, we're just talking about tools. Who present Top Gear.
Stop it.
But anyway, Simon, you have four articles there. Can you decide which one
no.
has been made up?
No, they all sound rubbish and they all sound like something you haven't made up, which
Yay!
I suppose makes the job more difficult for me, which I suppose is the point of the game. Two legs good, just because. I have no reason other than that's the one I've decided.
Okay, well, let's see if Simon is correct. Can Simon break his losing streak entirely? No, he can't. No,
oh.
No, he can't. That streak is continuing, unblemished.
No, not unblemished. I have won Article
no,
of Farcical
never.
On a number
You've never
of
won
occasions.
It. Never won it. No, no, no. I deny all that. Well, the actual farcical among all these articles was slap your face in the morning and eat muesli.
Why?
That's
Why did
I
you make
up.
That up?
I just wanted to see if you'd slap your face and resolve to eat muesli. I just want to make you more miserable, really. I wanted to implant instructions in your brain that will make your mornings worse.
I'm never, ever eating muesli. Ever.
But you're a hamster, Simon.
That would be like eating my own bed.
You live on a bed of muesli, like a bed of rocket. Do you have olive oil drizzled on you? By Jonathan Meads from A Height.
We got emails.
We did get emails. Thank you very much for writing to us.
We get lots of emails, and I vowed to read some of them out every week. Why I bother, I don't know. Dear Izzy.
Oh, hello.
What is the point of Simon? He seems redundant. Thanks, Claire from Wiltshire.
Hey, well, Claire from Wiltshire, you're perfectly right. There is no point to Simon, but that is kind of his beauty in a way, because there is very little point in life anyway, and Simon sort of is a metaphor for our entire existence on this tiny little planet orbiting a tiny little star, which is in the western spiral arm of this galaxy, which is just one of millions of billions of galaxies, possibly not billions actually, but millions of galaxies.
Why do I solicit this kind of abuse? It's bad enough that I get it from you every week. That I then go, oh yeah, please write to us and tell me I'm rubbish.
Well, I've got another one here from Leah, who actually lives very near my hometown. She's put Carterton, which is very close. That's within
that
10 miles.
That sounds really
quite
posh.
Scared.
That sounds like a posh place. Carterton.
Well, Carterton. It's Carterton. Really part of the airbase and it's not posh at all. Anyway, dear Simon, did you see Izzy's show? I did and was hoping to meet you. It was good, but she didn't have you to interrupt her punchlines. It wasn't the same.
Uh-huh.
That's lit. she'd written more there, but I'm going to read it out because it was telling me how wonderful I am. And I'm very modest as a person.
The answer is no, I didn't see Izzy's show.
Yes, I'm. Why didn't you see Izzy's show?
Wasn't invited.
You weren't invited, yeah. Bollocks.
Wasn't invited.
You were invited. I invited you to do my teching.
Yeah, you invited me to come along and do all your skivvy work.
Yeah.
Not to come and watch the show and enjoy it one evening as a punter. No. Come and do my skivvy work, Simon.
I had a skivvy there anyway to do my work.
So I would have been redundant even more so.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, you could have sat back and laughed and gone, huh, I think I know who she's talking about there. Oh.
If you want to write to us with abuse for Izzy, that would be fantastic.
What?
Well, you know, we don't get nearly enough abuse for you. Oh, there's too much to abuse. It's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
But you can tweet us as well. Well, we do occasionally read out tweets. So if you want to follow Sidon, he is at Sidon, SIGHDONE. I am at Izzy Lawrence, SIZI_LAWRANCE. And you can tweet me your facts about Simon being a dick.
Piss you. It's the randomizer, Skyzer. I should at some point play that jingle again that the Rev Matty made for us.
The Rev Matty's amazing. I like him very much.
Me too. All right, you can choose the magazine, playlist, or weekend.
I will choose weekend.
And in weekend, you can go from page 1 to page 35.
I'll choose page 17.
Oh, God. Gardens. Save up to 50% on gardens. You can buy a terracotta rhubarb forcer.
A what?
A terracotta rhubarb forcer.
Oh, I know what they are. To make rhubarb grow, you have to lock them in the dark.
Right. They're like mushrooms.
Do you have to lock mushrooms in the dark?
Yeah, mushrooms grow in the dark, don't they?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think it matters for the mushrooms because they don't photosynthesize.
That's why it's got to be in the
rhubarb
dark.
Rhubarb does, which is why putting it in the dark makes it grow quicker because it's looking for light.
Oh, I see. It's trying to get taller to try and find light. It thinks it's underground still. That's just cruel.
It is very cruel. Vegetarians are evil. They hurt plants.
They do. You can reach the highest apples with their fruit picker too. That looks like a nasty little bit of kit, actually. Got a big bag on the end of it with giant teeth. It looks like a sarlacc on a pole. So there we go. What could I choose?
I've got Guardian Weekend, I've got Review, I've got Travel, I've got The Guide.
All right, let's go with The Guide.
Okay, and you've got page 1 to when does the thing start?
I like The Guide. I used to read Charlie Brooker's column in the back of it, and that's how I learnt about good American television years ago. Now, there is no way to know about good American television. Although, I have discovered a new series, which will never be on in the UK. It's called Friday Night Lights, and it's about American football, and it's very good.
Yeah, nobody here cares about American football, Simon. It's rubbish.
Yeah, no, but the series is good. I don't care about American football, but the TV series is good, but it'll never be on because it's about American football.
Well, it's one of those things you're going to have to get yourself a Region 1 player, isn't it?
No, it's out on Region 2 DVD, actually.
Oh, really? Well, why don't we all go and buy it then?
I'll piss you. What page?
Really between 1 and 46, because then it starts getting into, like, listings.
Okay. 12.
Okay. Oh, this is Please Make It Stop, but it's the end of it. I don't know if you recall Please Make It Stop, which is one of the ones you correctly identified as being a real article. It says, real or fake, can you spot a modern torture movie? So I'll read you one, and then you decide, is this a real torture movie or a fake torture movie?
Right, now we're talking about a fake real torture movie, because a real torture movie would be illegal, wouldn't it? That would be a snuff film.
A Thai film in which a female restaurateur beset with surreal visions finds that when she butchers and serves up meat of a dying man who stumbles into her ailing eatery, customers flock in by the dozen. Her only option is to find more victims to serve up with the noodles. Repulsive and awful splattered, but contains several interesting recipes for human flesh.
That is true. That is a real one.
That is true. What's it called? The Meat Grinder. That's what it's called.
Give me one more then.
Okay. Danny Dyer scripts and stars as a widely mocked Cockney actor who receives one bad review too many and decides to extract horrendous revenge on his detractors in a number of drawn-out cinematically inspired murders. Described as Hammer's theatre of blood for the soccer AM generation, it concludes with a brutal half-hour torture scene on the influential critic called Marcus Carmody, who is reckoned to be based on a real person.
I don't believe that Danny Dyer has the wit or the self-insight to be able to write a film about that.
Yeah, I think that one is a fake.
So there we go. I somehow win.
Well done, Simon.
Let's flop out the giant humdongers on a Saturday. They're much bigger on a Saturday. I don't know why. It's because God's not resting, perhaps.
Yeah, or he is if he's a Jewish God. Because Saturday is the end of the day. Sunday is the beginning of the week.
It's the same God.
It's not the same God, Simon.
He's got it easy and he's got the whole weekend off.
Well, exactly. This is God's plan. That is why there are different religions in the world. So
you get the whole week off.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I have got Dolphins and Whales and How to Spot Them in Britain, which the headline made me giggle, just thinking you might see a killer whale down the shops. And I didn't choose it just so I could say sperm whale either. I could have used the article called How to Get Dressed.
Yeah, I've seen that before, though. I've used that in the past, yeah. How to Get Dressed.
But the reason I've chosen this is because some of the dolphins and whales it says you can spot are the harbour or common seal.
That's not a dolphin.
The basking shark.
That's not a whale.
And the Atlantic grey seal. So a good quarter of the dolphins and whales you can see are actually not dolphins or whales. So it's a bit of a humdonger.
It used to be, and it used to be a huge joy in my life, was reading John Ronson on a Saturday.
I like John Ronson.
I like John Ronson too. And they replaced him a few years ago with Tim Dowling, who I know people who love him, who say that he's really funny, he's really witty.
It's not John
But every
Ronson.
Time I read his articles, I'm always slightly just left a bit empty and hollow.
Yeah, aren't you just reading it going, you're not John Ronson? You're not John
exactly.
Ronson.
This is my problem. But the reason I'm picking it in particular is because he's basically writing about driving across America with his family, basically going to a wedding or something, which is depressing to begin with.
Oh, weddings are depressing, aren't they? I hate going to weddings. I hate having to look at a vase with water and chilies in it and have to go, oh, that's a nice vase with water and chilies in it. I've never seen that before.
There's never enough food and there's always too much alcohol. You see, the nice thing about a funeral is that people shut up and there are fewer kids.
And you don't have to have the same conversation 40 times.
Also, the wave of regret and nausea that sort of sweeps over you and the sadness. It seems appropriate at a funeral. Or is it a wedding? You just feel a bit like a bitch.
It's time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week.
That'd be me.
Well,
yes.
Why?
Because everything I've read out has been really interesting and good, and everything you've read out has been slightly disappointing and withered.
Well, I had a feminist lawyer who was a bit like Max Clifford.
But you were talking to her about shoes.
I wasn't.
Well, no, they were. I mean, it's a bit rubbish.
True. I had the whales.
Nothing else. You had whales, yes, but they weren't whales, were they? They were sea life.
Had a pot with rhubarb in it. All right, you win by a mile, so what?
Yay!
See if I care.
Oh, of course you care, Simon. You care deeply. And that's what makes my winning feel so good.
So, the newspaper you should have bought last Saturday, this Sunday, coming towards the end of the week, but not today, was
The Guardian.
I forgot what you had. This is how much I care.
Simon's The Guardian. A bit sleepy.
What's it called on a Saturday?
It's called The Guardian Weekend Edition.
The Guardian Weekend Edition. Right, okay. So you should go out and buy that one a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I know you've all calibrated your time machines to go back to last Sunday to buy the newspapers, but you're
really
going to have to recalibrate
them. Our podcast is aimed at one person and one person alone, isn't it, Simon?
Doc Brown.
No, I was thinking Doctor Who, actually.
No, Doctor Who wouldn't waste his time going to get a newspaper. Doc Brown would.
That's exactly what Doctor Who would. He'd go out and he'd go, hey, Amy Pond, let's go out and have a look at what life was like in the 21st century. And she'd go, well, I'm from there. That wouldn't be very interesting for me. And then he'd go there and go, look, it's paper. Let's see which one we should have got. Oh, hang on. I know a podcast ideal for this situation. And she'd be like, Doctor, I want to go see like aliens and stuff. And isn't there a crack in the universe or something? And he'd be like, but ha ha ha, Simon loses. I like it when Simon loses. He's a loser.
But that's my point. From a verisimilitude perspective, I believe that Doc Brown exists or could exist. I don't believe that Doctor Who could ever exist.
God, do you know what happens? You have to clap now.
Doc Brown.
Four times.
A man could put a flux capacitor into a DeLorean. But you could not grow a TARDIS on a planet.
He's like Tinkerbell now. He's also like, oh, somebody must believe in me, otherwise I don't exist.
That's how the last series of Doctor Who ended, actually.
Exactly. It is, actually. It's very thematic of us. Well done. It slightly bothers me that. It does bother me that, because I do like to think that Doctor Who is a science fiction-based thing rather than a fantasy thing. But okay, I'll let them go with it. I mean, it was very good at the end of the series.
Anyway, also, I prefer that Doc Brown existed because I could have a hoverboard.
That is true. You could have a hoverboard. I've got his hair, if that helps.
What, in the fridge?
I don't know. Growing out of my own head. I kind of model my hairstyle on Doc Brown.
You do, that is true. And Ziggy Stardust.
He is a sex pot. Doc Brown, not Ziggy Stardust.
Both. In bed with you. Doing stuff to your elbows with Juicy.
No, that'd be both confusing. And also, the advantage of sleeping with Doc Brown is, though, that you'd have enough time to do it.
But surely you would with Doctor Who?
No. No, Doctor Who would be rushing off to save the world somewhere. Oh, that's okay. Why he'd never banged.
Do you think Doc Brown would be more grateful?
Well, no, because he's in love with Clara, isn't he?
Oh, maybe. Anyway, please write to us. It's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. You can Twitter us. You've heard the address already. You can leave a message on our Facebook group wall, or you can visit our website at sundaysupplement.com, or even leave us a review on iTunes. Join us next week. We'll probably be doing the Sunday papers, but we can't guarantee it.
We can't guarantee anything.
We haven't got a time machine. We can't go forwards in time.
No, we can't.
And also, the bloke who drives it is having sex with Izzy's elbow or something. I'm confused.
You're very confused. And yes, apart from your elbow and Doc Brown, this was probably the cleanest episode we've done in a long time.
Cheerio.
Bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.